welcome to On the Box. We're back once again to talk some more about them TV shows, what we sometimes watch. I hope we sometimes watch them. If we don't watch TV shows, this is going to be a very short show.
I have been watching TV this week, so I'm fine on that front.
This is good. This is very good. Oh, Rob.
Yes.
I'm going to remind you on the show just to embarrass you. Remember, you need to talk about that DVD we got sent in that you keep forgetting to talk about.
Yes. I forgot to talk about it again this week. Oh, I will be forgetting to talk about it again this week.
So that's Rob. I'm Andrew. And the other Andy is somewhere around here, maybe.
Yes.
There he is. I found him.
He's floating around in the ether.
I don't know what to say to that.
I always like to imagine that we're just kind of like floating in some kind of void with just microphones attached to our heads.
Yes. Right. Okay. Before we go any further, On the Box is part of the Geek Show Podcast Network. We like what we do and we like watching TV sometimes, a lot of the time, maybe. And if you like what we do, then show your support. You can make a donation or you can buy one of our lovely bits of merchandise. All those links can be found on our website, thegeekshow.co.uk. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, or just contact us, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. And now, on with the news. I just realised, hang on, I've got most of the news, haven't I? Yes.
Yeah. This is...
Consistency.
You wouldn't think we've done this before, would you?
Right, okay. Kevin Smith, let's start off with Kevin Smith, that bastion of television entertainment.
God, I hate Kevin Smith. as a director, like, I'm sure he's perfectly fine as a human being.
I liked a couple of bits that he did, but it was more bits rather than the whole movie, you know?
Anyway, yeah, no, we'll do that. What's the story first?
Anyway, Kevin Smith, he's an avid comic book fan, yeah? And
yeah, I know.
He's basically...
Although you couldn't tell from the comic books he's written. Oh!
I don't know. I thought
that was a burn on Kevin Smith.
I thought the Green Arrow story he did, Quiver, I thought that one was interesting.
Oh, yeah. No. He has done some good stuff.
Yeah.
But he has also written a story about how Batman, in his iconic year one moment, wet his own pants.
Oh, yeah. The bladder spasm. Yeah.
The bladder spasm.
Oh, God. Anyway, Kevin Smith, he is going to be... doing a TV show based on Spawn, right? But it's not a Spawn TV show. It's not a Spawn animated series. In fact, I'm sure Spawn will be in there somewhere, just not in the form that maybe we think, because it's going to be about everyone's favourite detectives from that show, Sam and Twitch.
Just what? I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Sam and Twitch's characters.
Yeah.
They are like my second favourite detective duo, where one partner is called Sam.
Yeah.
After Sam and Max, obviously.
Yes.
Spawn has been and gone. Spawn is not a thing that anyone really cares about anymore.
Yep.
And so a TV show based on two of the side characters from that.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work, does it?
I thought it's literally based on that character then. It's not, for example, trying to bring something back.
No. It's not. I don't know. Spawn's always been one of those weird ones. It has some good moments, but I honestly found a lot of it kind of forgettable.
Spawn is very 1990s.
Yeah, it's 90s comics through and through.
Like, he's got the belt with the big butt. Buckle and the shoulder pads full of spikes and chains everywhere.
Yeah, all the chains with the hooks. They seem to have a thing about hooks and chains in the 90s and pouches and buckles.
Yeah, I mean, Spawn was very cool when I was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
But now he's kind of an uncomfortable reminder of the past. But that's moot anyway, because like we said, this isn't even a Spawn TV series.
Nope.
This is Kevin Smith being Kevin Smith again, being all, oh, I like a thing, and who cares if anyone else likes it? I'm going to make it anyway, and then everyone's going to fawn all over me because I'm a nerd.
But I don't want to fawn all over him because he's a nerd, you know? I prefer people who do something that is, well, if he's going to do something completely left field with as a TV series based on kind of superheroes or comic books or something like that, then do something original, you know? Do something completely original. It would be more interesting than doing Sam and Twitch.
Because Kevin Smith's original ideas are made through the consumption of lots of plant life and are not good.
Yes.
He made Tusk, film about a mutant walrus man, and then Yoga Hoses about a Nazi army of bratwurst.
Yoga Hoses?
Yoga Hoses, which was also a criticism against people who had the audacity to not like his film about a giant walrus man.
But Tusk was an awful film.
Yes, Rob. Yes, it was.
I don't know what to say at this point. It just seems to go in a random tangent, these films, at the minute.
No, it sounds random. No, it sounds random, but it's totally not. This is just Kevin Smith to a T, right? I think the best movie he's done recently was Red State. And even that...
What I've heard, Red State is pretty okay.
That's what I was about to say. Even that is just okay.
Yeah, like, I think it's not even that he's a bad director. It's that he thinks he's such a good director when he's not.
I just think he did direct and produce that film that lived up to his name, Cop Out, in 2010.
Oh, Cop Out.
And he did Cop Out?
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything good about that film.
Well, I watched it and I didn't see anything good about that film either. So.
Touché, good sir.
I mean, look, what good films has Kevin Smith even done? Like, there's Clerks.
But even which, that wasn't great.
Yeah. Like, this was great, Clerks, which was fairly enjoyable. And then...
After that, there was Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma...
Dogma.
Bill and Ted. No, not Bill and Ted. What was it?
No, don't you associate the most excellent dudes with Kevin Smith, Rob.
That one where him and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, that was it. Sorry.
Yeah, he did that Zack and Miri make a slightly adult film as well.
Oh, God. Here's a question. Did Kevin Smith go to the M. Night Shyamalan School of Film? Because it just feels like the two of them are kind of in the same category right now when it comes to making films. They have these big ideas and they just, somewhere between the, you know, somebody giving them the idea, because I'm pretty sure they don't think of it themselves. If they do, then why are they still working in Hollywood? But between someone giving them the idea and the final cut of the movie, something's gone horribly wrong.
Yeah. It's that what happens is that Kevin Smith has written all the plot and dialogue.
Yeah. It feels like him and M. Night could be like the best
of
friends.
Boom, boom, shake the room.
Yeah, M. Night, boom, boom, shake the room. You know, are they twins of some sort?
Mm.
What if, in a Shyamalama Ding Dong-esque twist,
they're
the same person?
Are we talking the Scooby-Doo ending, at the end of the movie, he rips his face off and he's Kevin Smith. Then at the end of Kevin Smith's movie, he rips his face off and he's M. Night Shyamalan.
See, I'm thinking more that M. Night pretends to be Kevin Smith, because that would explain why he always wears the baggy jersey sweater.
Yes.
To hide, like, the fact that he's just wearing a skin suit.
Wild idea. What if they were both cosplaying as each other on a semi-permanent basis?
Maybe. Maybe that's what the Sam and Twitch series is really about.
Yes. Maybe it's finally time for them to both be on the screen at the same time.
It is, but, what if, though, it's just Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes?
What if Jason Mewes is secretly M. Night Shyamalan? What if it is? What if he's just really wearing a lot of makeup?
But that would mean that Jason Mewes is good at acting.
Yeah, that kind of kills my idea, doesn't it?
It does. It's the one irrefutable piece of evidence.
Yes, it is. There's no way I can actually go against that.
All this time.
Yes.
just been deliberately giving awful performances to throw us off the scent.
Oh, to hide his real goals.
So that we'd never think he's capable of pretending to be like Schloppaloppadop.
At some point, Andy, we may say his name correctly, but we refuse. I still can't believe... Sorry?
I couldn't even pronounce his name.
Well, I stopped saying his name after he did The Last Airbender. Because I looked at that, I went, how have you managed to whitewash this entire movie? Look at you, you're brown. How have you managed this? Well, hell, Danny Boyle actually managed to do Slumdog Millionaire and millions of people loved it. Yeah. He even threw in a few Bollywood numbers, especially the one at the end. Everybody went mad. Everybody loved it. Yeah.
So what story was this about?
Hold on, isn't Dev Patel in both those films?
Sorry? Yeah, Dev Patel's in both those films.
Yeah, he links.
Yeah, he's also in Lion. And I found it hilarious at the BAFTAs, right, that Dev Patel won Best Supporting Actor for a film in which he's supposed to be the star because it's supposed to be about his character.
Yeah, well, it's what the studios do, isn't it? They'll kind of fudge the roles.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
you can go in for categories that you're definitely going to win.
I'm like, hang on, he's like, you know, it's a film about his life. Nicole Kidman's just the woman who adopted him.
That is depressing. When you're a supporting character in the story of your own life.
No.
That's practically an Alanis Morissette lyric.
No. Oh, anyway, we were talking about Kevin Smith and Sam and Twitch and... Well, that's one story ruined, and thankfully, I'm glad. Yeah. I don't really want to know how this is going to turn out, because, to be honest, it'll probably turn out as a Kevin Smith thing.
Yep, so very Kevin Smith.
Yes. Okay, what's next, then? What's next on the news?
What's next?
Didn't you have a story, Andy?
Is this me?
Yes, yes.
Well, we'll go with... I don't know. We'll go with some... Well, some news that will make you, well, make your head hurt, basically. Okay. American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Andrew, you've watched that, haven't you?
I haven't. Wait. Quick side tangent.
Yes?
Kevin Smith named his daughter Harley Quinn Smith.
Oh, God.
Okay. Back to this now.
Well, American Horror Story. I'm guessing, because I've never seen this, I have to, because it's supposed to be really good. But I'm guessing American Horror Story is literally American Horror Story, literally as it says.
Oh, no. See what it actually is, Andy, is it's like, it's a story. What's about horror? And see, it's set in America.
Anyway, season 7, apparently they usually reveal the season, what the season's going to be based on, later in the year, but they revealed it early this year because it coincides with the theme, which will tackle the 2016 presidential election.
Hang on, what?
Well, technically it is an American horror story, isn't it?
Yeah, but normally with American horror stories, there's a lot more blood and gore.
Yeah, but I assume it's not going to be like a docudrama.
Oh, I doubt it. He got asked, will there be a character based on Trump? And then the show's producer, Ryan Murphy, told the journalist, maybe. So in other words, yes. But it wouldn't be very good presidential election if there wasn't a character based on what it's supposed to be based on.
Yeah.
Now my head hurts.
Yeah, Andrew, I just had a thought. Do you remember that story we did a while ago on Literary Loitering about the spirit roasts? Or spirit cooking?
What?
Or what? Spirit cooking, I think it is. Maybe that...
God, things are stupid.
Maybe that's somehow connected to this presidential election version of American Horror Story.
Well, apparently I think the second season of American Crime Story... It's focusing on the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. So they seem to be going quite a different route.
Yeah, but wasn't spirit cooking something like I don't know. There was like milk and various other things and blood and stuff. It was some, I've forgotten her name, Marina Abramovich, was it?
Yeah, it was Marina Abramovich, because Graham brought it up. Yeah, but no, what I was thinking is they could be going for like a Omen 3 kind of thing.
True. Ooh. Actually, yeah. And does that make Trump the Antichrist?
He might be the priest. Hillary Clinton might be the Antichrist.
No, I've realised it. I know what Donald Trump is. He's the hellhound. I mean, look at him. He's got the jowls and, you know, when he gets angry, he tends to, you know, bark and slobber all over the place.
Yeah. I love stories like this. I mean...
I am curious, though. Sorry, you were saying, Andy?
I'm going to say, I'm going to have to watch the other 6 seasons before this.
Hang on, is this another Game of Thrones for you?
Oh, don't say that. It took me 2 years to watch Game of Thrones. Well, a year.
At least I've watched the first 2 seasons, so I'm kind of aware of what American Horror Story is all about. Yeah, but
I mean, to be fair, though, Andy, you can actually just start watching whenever.
Yeah.
Because it is like each series is its own kind of separate thing.
Yes. Yes, it is. I'm curious about how this is going to play into an American Horror Story, though, because I think the Omen angle is a good angle, but I don't know. I just, for some reason, I want them to go down the whole, because I mentioned the spirit cooking, I want them to go down the whole voodoo route where they're actually, you know, the campaign headquarters, they're having like ancient ritual, magical rituals and various things like that, or, you know, somebody's wearing the head of some weird creature on top of his head and saying, you know, I pray to the great god Baphomet or something or whatever.
Yeah, well, I assume it is going to be that kind of thing. But to be honest, I hope they kind of don't go too far into the whole trying to make points about Trump.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're all kind of a bit burned out on that.
Yeah, that's...
So you should have it like the Donald like, I'm Trump saying that, project.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm saying that as the guy who, like, on all our shows makes at least, like, 2 to 3 Trump jokes a show.
This is true. I'll agree, I'm burned out on all the Donald Trump jokes and all the kind of jibes aimed at him. And just kind of, yeah, okay, we're done. It's been a month since he was inaugurated as president. Just leave it now. Yeah, we know he's going to be a mess. Everyone
but then
knows
he keeps
it.
Doing things that are so ripe for parody.
Are you on about his press conference?
I am. It's not fair, Donald. Giving us so much material.
Yeah, that was kind of his press conference was kind of awesome. How he managed to confirm facts and deny them at the same time. Yeah.
But no, basically what I'm saying is we all need to start making alternative jokes.
Yes.
Well, you know that Donald Trump...
Oh, God, I did it. I made a Trump joke, but I didn't even want... But I had to anyway. I had to, Rob. It's like a sickness.
No, I got the joke totally. Andy let it go way over his head. Yeah. Alternative jokes, Andy. Alternative jokes.
Yeah, well,
you keep talking, I'm just like sobbing a corner for a bit.
You know, Donald Trump is bad when the creators of South Park won't parody him because he's parody have become reality.
Well, he's kind of his own parody when you get right down to it. Yeah. It's like he's got people who basically say, Donald, do this.
Yeah, it'll be good South ratings. South Park won't even touch you.
Yeah, if you've become so much of a parody of yourself that South Park won't even touch you, there's something... You're doing something wrong. But yeah, my main concern with American Horror Story is exactly the same as Andrew's. I am worried that they're just going to do it as kind of a political statement type thing. And that would be the wrong move for American Horror Story. See, if they did it as kind of as more of a horror version of House of Cards, that would be interesting.
That is exactly what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, a horror version of House of Cards would be amazing, I reckon. So, yeah, maybe with a cameo from Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Just walking in going, what's going on? I'm off back to K-Pax.
He'd be playing Trump.
No, don't think he will.
No, just in like the final scene when they're in the Oval Office sacrificing to perform it or something.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith just like Kevin Spacey even just like strolls to the door and goes like, well, I'm back from my holiday. Oh my God, what's going on?
Yes. The vice president just looks at him and goes, how is K-Pax? Going back there right now. Oh, right. Anyway, let's leave that to one side and move on to Doctor Who. Doctor Who, Doctor Who, Doctor Who. Now,
ooh.
We know Peter Capaldi picked a pickle peppers. We know Peter Capaldi is actually... See, when you say Peter Capaldi picked a peck of pickled peppers, it's so much better than Peter picked a peck of pickled peppers. Yeah, Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, because it's a bit more complicated. We know he's going to be leaving Doctor Who, and as always, the usual debate over who is going to be the new Doctor. We need a black Doctor, we need a female Doctor. That argument has started all over again, as it always does. But Neil Gaiman has waded into the debate in his own way in an interview he did. And he was doing this interview with BBC Radio 5 Live, and he said, I'd love to see a woman doctor. The time's absolutely right. And one of his first choices was Sue Perkins from The Great British Bake Off and various other things. His other choices are Gillian Anderson, who's going to be in American Gods anyway. So, and he says, you know, I don't think there's anything Gillian can't do. And also, if they're going for an older doctor, Helen Mirren. And I think Gillian Anderson and Helen Mirren.
One of these things is not like the others. One of these things just doesn't belong.
Yeah. Helen Mirren, I think, would make an amazing doctor, but I don't think she'd do it. Gillian Anderson.
Well, it's Helen Mirren from Prime Suspect.
Yes. Yes. I think she'd make an amazing doctor, but I don't think she'd do it. Oh, they are doing a prequel for Prime Suspect as well, so that's one to look out for. Gillian Anderson, you know, she's got a lot of experience with sci-fi TV type things, so she's a possibility. But Sue Perkins, though, I've been racking my brain trying to think of the last time I saw Sue Perkins in an acting role, and I can't come up with anything.
I don't think I can.
No, well, she's not an actor, is she?
I think she's a stand-up comic, she's a comedian, and she's a presenter, but I don't think she's an actor.
I mean, to be fair, I guess there are plenty of comics who have then made the jump to acting, so... Yeah,
but the weird thing is, I look at Sue Perkins and I think about how she normally behaves, and I'm just thinking, she'd be perfect for the role. Just basically say, Sue, right, we're going to call you the Doctor for the next hour or so. Just be yourself. Just basically, your name for the next hour or so is The Doctor. That's all you're going to be known as. We're not going to call you Sue. She'll be like, okay. And then just plays Doctor Who, just being Sue Perkins as the Doctor. But
can Mel Gedroych be the companion?
That's what I was thinking as well.
See, that would be an amazing show.
Time and relative, time-space adventures with Mel and Sue. It'd be amazing. Because, you know, I mean, after seeing them in Bake Off, you know they're just going to be like the two naughty little kids, you know?
Don't give Channel 4 ideas.
Oh, no, they'd be they would be painting on Daleks, right? They'd be painting, be like the little six-year-old girls painting flowers and hearts on Daleks. The Daleks going, what have you painted on me? Exterminate.
Davros would spin around to, like, do his dramatic monologue, only to turn back and find them both kind of at the nearest his computer, just pressing every single button.
Yes. Curses the greatest enemy of the Daleks.
The one thing, right, I haven't watched Doctor Who, but if Mel and Sue did it, and they put the Great British Bake Off puns in there somewhere.
Oh, God. You
know, that would be amazing.
I think it would have to happen. If you had Mel and Sue as the Doctor and the Doctor's faithful companion. And you can just imagine the argument, you know, at the end of an episode, just Mel going to Sue, can I be the Doctor now? No, I'm the Doctor. But I want to be the Doctor. Why am I always a companion? and just fade to black on that.
They pick off where they just take turns.
Yes. See, that would be... automatically, we're enjoying the idea of this, and we also know that it's probably not going to happen.
You could just swap them over every episode without anybody knowing, you know? Like,
no, I think... it's a possibility, actually. If it depends on how Peter Capaldi dies. If he gets split down the middle, right? If someone takes a great big sword and basically cuts the Doctor in half and he regenerates each half, one half Mel, one half Sue.
There's a cake joke there.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Is that how Time Lords reproduce?
Well, like amoeba.
Just like comes along and bisects them.
That sounds wrong. That sounds so wrong. Someone bisected Peter Capaldi.
What was the story again? Oh, next Doctor Who, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe doctors reproduce like amoeba. Oh, God. I've just realised the Great British Bake Off thing is actually strong. Maybe it is a Bake Off connection. Maybe the big enemy in the final episode is Mary Berry as, like, the cake queen or something like that. And she's feeding Peter Capaldi up until he becomes so corpulent he actually has to split into two. And then he dies in the process. And one half becomes Mel, the other half becomes Sue, the greatest enemies of the cake queen.
Like Mr. Creosote from Monty Python.
Yes.
Thing is, his cause of death would be like a soggy bottom or something. Wouldn't it?
The autopsy cause of death was a soggy bottom. That's an episode of CSI I want to see.
Oh, God. Paul Hollywood will be in that.
What is Grissom? Or is he going to do the CSI Miami where he puts the sunglasses on his face slowly? We've taken a strange turn here.
I know. We have.
Shall we head back into...
to know who the actual frontrunner is for the next Doctor Who.
Oh, who is it?
Tilda Swinton.
Oh.
Wasn't Danny Dyer in there somewhere?
I don't care about Danny Dyer.
I think Danny Dyer's like he wants to be. And again, no. Danny Dyer would be an amazing doctor.
Yes, Abbott, you slag. The Cockney Doctor.
I stop it.
I'm sorry, the Cockney Doctor sounds like a put down of some sort. Oh, you Cockney Doctor.
There, you child of Pope.
Yes. Tilda Swinton. And this time, I was denied with Doctor Strange. She wasn't allowed to have long flowing mustaches in Doctor Strange. But I think that this time, she should be allowed long flowing mustaches.
Yes, you go, BBC. You break the taboo. Yes. You let Tilda Swinton have a long flowing mustache.
Yes. Or at least a handlebar. Oh, mutton chops. Tilda Swinton with mutton chops would be hilarious.
I just want some kind of moustache so that, like, when the situation demands it, she can kind of just stroke it.
Oh, yeah.
Just like a,
Or twirl it, saying, indubitably.
Yes.
Anyway, so, Tilda Swinton's front runner. Who's after Tilda Swinton?
I probably should have looked that, but I know... There's been talk of Chris Marshall as well.
Okay.
Ah.
Who is the guy who was like the oldest son in my family, then he went on to do Death in Paradise, and now he's just left that.
Don't forget his best acting work ever in MBT adverts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah?
God, were the BT family all right in the end? I'll never know.
Well, the son went off to university and... then they met their roommate who somehow managed to usurp the adverts.
Hmm. Well, I wonder what network the TARDIS will be on.
Sky. What? It's an obvious one. All right, let's leave that to one side and move on to The Gadget Show. And Craig Charles is joining The Gadget Show.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Mel and Sue were joining the Gadget Show there.
No. I think Mel and Sue, the last thing you want to do is put them in front of anything with buttons on and say, we want you to explain what this does.
Yeah, true. So anyway, Gadget Show.
Yes. Craig Charles is going to be on the Gadget Show. He's replacing somebody off the Gadget Show, isn't he?
Jason Bradbury.
Jason Bradbury.
The main host.
Is he the one with the weird glasses?
Yeah, he's the bald one.
All right. So Craig Charles is replacing him. And so, okay, that's fine. He's going to be on the next 12-episode run for the Gadget Show. And I don't know. He says he's a big kind of tech head and he's done Robot Wars and Red Dwarf. So, especially Robot Wars.
I think the Gadget Show itself, it used to be extremely popular. It used to be where you'd go. The whole point of the show was to like compare prices and reviews, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But ever since YouTube got huge, they've had to basically mix it up a bit. So I'd love to see how it transforms with the new host.
This is a conspiracy. I've just realised what's going on. I have a theory. I have a theory, Andrew.
A theory?
Yeah, I have a theory, Andy and Andrew, about this, right? I reckon Craig Charles is actually doing this, and then at some point he's going to meet with what's-his-face? Forgotten his name. Dara O'Brien. Craig Charles and Dara O'Brien are going to meet up in a secret alleyway somewhere, and they're going to exchange, because Dara O'Brien loves his gadgets. He absolutely loves his gadgets, right? And Craig Charles loves Robot Wars.
Yeah, they do make a much better fit for each other's shows.
Do you see what I mean? So they're going to meet in the secret alleyway. They're going to shake hands and go. They're going to swap shows somewhere in the middle. So Craig Charles will return to Robot Wars, and Darrow Breen will get what he wants as well and be on the Gadget Show.
So you say that, but what I'm imagining instead is there's some kind of Freaky Friday situation.
See, that works as well.
I just can't. Darrow Breen trying to do a Liverpudlian accent would be absolutely hilarious.
Yes.
And simply Craig Charles doing an Irish accent.
Craig Charles has said, I've always been into my gadgets and have been involved with tech on other shows I've done, like Robot Wars and Red Dwarf. So I'm really delighted to be joining such a legendary program. Hopefully it will impress my kids and they'll think of me as a cool dad for once.
You know, Craig Charles only wants to have a real go on those VR machines, don't you?
Yeah.
But he does know that the tech in Red Dwarf is very far advanced to the tech we have in real life.
Yes.
He's not going to get a matter transporter or a time machine or anything like that. Well, not for another, like, 2 years at least.
So just think this is just like Craig Charles just going to, like, stick a load of tinfoil over some cardboard boxes and start, look, everyone, I made a time machine.
That could happen.
And just like slowly shake their head and just go, no, Craig, no. Go back in your corner, Craig.
Is Gadget Show just doing like every 12 episodes they get a new guest presenter or something like that? Because wasn't What's-Her-Face from Countdown on Gadget Show?
Yeah, but they've never changed the main presenter, like the host of it.
Well, no, Jason Bradbury was only one of the main hosts, wasn't he? There's the old guy.
Yeah, but he was the lead host, technically.
Yeah, but he always annoyed me.
John Bentley and Otis Steele are still on it.
I preferred John Bentley to Jason Bradbury.
Well, John Bentley's segments were probably the best bit of the show because he did all these comparison things with TVs and cameras and stuff.
But was he Compare the Gadget Man?
Yeah, he was like,
The thing is, I say that now, but now I've got an image of John Bentley comparing Stephen Fry and Richard Ayoade.
And I've just got a image in my head, with Craig Charles on this show, with you put one of these headsets on and you'll be going, how do I get out the game? And start clapping his hands to try and find the button.
Oh, no. If he starts doing the whole kissing and grinding bit while he's wearing the headset, then just leave there. Oh, Red Dwarf jokes. There's going to be a lot of Red Dwarf jokes in Gadget Show for the next 12 episodes. Anyway, any more news?
No, I think that might be it.
Okay. Right, we're going to take a break there. We'll be back in a few minutes with stuff that we have been watching with our eyes.
Animation, where the pictures move. We swear it's not witchcraft. Quickly, head on over to Keyframe before they burn us at the stake.
The world of comics and manga are much, much more complex than I'll ever know. So tune in to 4Panel on the Geek Show Podcast Network to make that whole world a little less intimidating.
Welcome back, and now it's time for what we've been watching. So guys, what have you been watching?
Who wants to go first? Should I go first?
Yeah, you can go first.
Well, let's kick this up. This is one of my ones that you'll really... You know, one of those weird ones that I watch?
Yeah.
I don't say I watch it every week. But anyway, I've been watching Celebs Go Dating.
Have you been watching that?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see the first series because I thought, it's going to be just a reality. Do you know one of those? I don't like the, for example, like only wears Essex type show.
But isn't Joey Essex in Celebs Go Dating?
Yes. But, no, this is basically, there's six celebrities at the minute, and they go to ads another two in, I think. It's round about there.
Okay.
But, this one, you've got Joey Essex is back in there. Apparently, he was on the first series, and, like, he split up with who he was with.
Okay.
Who was another celebrity on the show, ironically. But the idea of the show is the celebrities are dating normal people. They're not dating other celebrities.
When you say normal people, what exactly do you mean?
Well, people that aren't celebrities. It's like people can apply to be on the show and they like go on dates. But it's like an agency. It's really hilarious. The one that's, I mean, he's on this, you feel sorry for him, was that Perry from Diversity. He was that little kid with the afro.
Oh, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, I remember him now.
And now he's like very tall. He's very tall and 21, so.
No.
Yeah.
But he was like 7.
But, yeah, I do. I mean, I reckon if you like shows where you just want to watch it and it's a laugh. I mean, you can laugh at it. It's hilarious. I mean, they set Joey Essex up with, I mean, he's 26, but they set him up with a 43-year-old two days ago. And it was brilliant.
Hang on. I just want to return to the lad from Diversity. How the hell did he manage to escape from that Butlin's holiday camp?
Well, you wouldn't miss him now because he's like 6 foot something. He's like the total opposite of what he was.
That's what I mean. Surely the camp guards would have seen him as he was escaping over the fence, like somersaulting over the fence.
I don't know. Maybe he just slipped out using smooth moves.
Possibly.
But yeah, it's a really good series. The only downside to it is it's on every day of the weekday for 3 weeks, not once a week. So it's technically, you have to literally watch it every day.
Oof.
That's harsh.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've been enjoying it. It's something that I watch and laugh at. And, I mean, last year, you had that Tiger Drew Honey on it from Outnumbered.
Okay.
And this year, quite a lot. I don't know who they are, but, like, still funny.
Yeah, well, you say so. Because my sister actually watched the first series. One of the celebrities was some guy off YouTube.
Yeah.
Not even some guy. Some guy who just pranked videos on YouTube.
Pretty always shot one.
God, I hated him.
I mean, on this one, you've got Joey Essex, Georgie Porter, Melody Thornton, apparently Pussycat Dolls singer. I'm not sure. Perry Keeley from Diversity. Fern McCann from Only Wears Essex and This Morning, and Jonathan Chiban, I don't know who he is, and Stephen Bear, who is basically really offensive to whoever he goes on a date with. But it's hilarious.
So he can only go on a date with himself because he loves himself so much that nobody else measures up.
Yeah, I recommend, though, you don't have to like watch every episode, basically. Just sit and watch one. Watch the first episode, and you'll see what I mean. But it is a really good show, and I do recommend it to anybody that just wants a laugh, basically.
Okay.
It's nothing like First Dates or anything like that.
Okay, Andrew, I will watch the first episode of this, and if I don't like it, you owe me an ice cream.
Well, Fulton Foods has...
other shops are available.
We'll take that back. The shop that should not be named.
Yeah. You make it sound like a horrible place.
Oh,
I was going to say... Swiss.
Jonathan Shaban is a friend of Kim Kardashian. That's why he's famous.
He's famous because he's a friend of Kim Kardashian. Yeah.
But he's not in it yet. So I don't know who he is. I think he comes in it in like 4 episodes time or something.
See, I still believe
Boy, it's Stephen Bear.
Yeah.
2011 to 2012, Shipwrecked. 2015 to 2016, X on the Beach. 2016, Celebrity Big Brother. And now Celebs Go Dating. What a career path.
So his career is only reality TV.
Yes.
But he is how he sounds.
What, a bear? Called Stephen? Maybe that's why he's on reality TV. All he's capable of doing is walking around going, roar! Andrew, do you want to go next or do you want me to?
You can go next.
Okay, so I have been watching Graham Norton.
Oh.
Yeah.
On the TV or through a telescope?
On the TV. I have been watching him on the TV. I have not been stalking Graham Norton, even though he is a fundamentally charming man. I've been watching, you know, the Friday Night Show. Graham Norton, the Graham Norton show, right?
Graham Norton show.
And I don't know what it is about that show, but it's one of those shows where it just seems like everybody seems to have fun with it. You have the couch of these, sometimes you have these massive Hollywood actors or, you know, bands from like where bands who are like globally famous, you know, artists who are globally famous, and they all just seem totally comfortable on the couch in his presence. And, you know, he'll have them laughing, he'll have them playing little games and stuff like that. And it's just, it's totally different from, you remember Jonathan Ross used to have that slot, right? Mm. And it's totally different from what Jonathan Ross used to do on his show before BBC kicked him to the curb. And I've seen Jonathan Ross's show on ITV, and it's, I don't know, I look at Graham Norton and I look at Jonathan Ross, and Graham Norton is so much better at doing Jonathan Ross's stuff than Jonathan Ross.
Oh, definitely. He won the main personality award, I think, last month.
Was it the National Television Awards?
Yeah, you know, the prestigious one, they usually have a fellowship type of thing.
Yeah, I know he won that one. And I'll be honest, the Graham Norton show has been going for, I think it's its 18th season or 19th series or something like that now. And he just seems to get better and better and better every single year. And the celebrities continue to become bigger and bigger and bigger. And I am just waiting for that moment when suddenly royalty is on the couch and they're happy to be there. You'll have like Prince William and Prince Harry and telling stories about, you know, when Harry was little, how William gave him a wedgie or something like that. I don't know if that story's real, but, you know, imagination is a great thing. And Graham Norton has a habit of digging out these weird stories.
Oh, can you imagine if Barack Obama had been on?
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Technically, now he can.
Yes, actually, he can. Will Smith and Barack Obama.
Just like rock up and they can hang out.
Yeah, no, Will Smith and Barack Obama, because Will Smith's one of his favourite guests, because if you look at the history he has with Will Smith, they did, I think Gary Barlow was on the episode Will Smith was on, and they did the Fresh Prince rap. And then Will Smith has been on a few other times to promote movies. And then he came on to introduce his son, Jaden, to the world. And just for Graham, because Graham didn't know anything about this, apparently, he brought along Jazzy Jeff and Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yes.
And they had this big kind of Fresh Prince reunion on the set of the Graham Norton show. And I was just like, wow. And Tom Cruise, whenever he's on, apparently he absolutely adores the show. It's one of his favorite. Yeah,
I think
TV
that
shows.
Is like the most amazing thing that Graham Norton can do. He can make Tom Cruise seem like a normal person.
Yeah, I know. I saw one with Tom, one of the ones with Tom Cruise, and he was saying, you know, I want you to stop doing these stunts. I worry for you. I feel like your mom. Tom Cruise is creasing up. He's like, no, I'm fine. He's like, but you're hanging off these things, and I get so worried for you. You're not as young as you used to be. He has this way of completely disarming these celebrities and making them feel comfortable, even though they're in front of a live audience.
Mm. Yeah, nope. I think it's kind of amazing that he can make a studio set in front of like a massive audience feel like it's just sort of like the front room of his house.
Yes.
And he's got some friends over for drinks.
Yeah, it's it is exactly like that. And, you know, he does actually give them drinks as well. You know, he doesn't give them water like a lot of other chat shows do. if they want something alcoholic, he'll give them something alcoholic.
And don't forget the red chair as well.
Oh, yeah, the red chair. The red chair's funny. Just, I love how arbitrary he is with the red chair. And, you know, if he doesn't like something, that it's automatically the lever goes. And the celebrities are so enamored with it that they want to actually use the lever.
Yeah, like, I can't remember who exactly it was, but I remember seeing one where Graham was just, like, in the middle of talking to someone on the chair. And you just see this hand kind of stretch over from the couch.
Yeah.
And just pull the lever.
I know. When you think about the people he's had on that couch, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Robert De Niro, Tom Hiddleston, he's had literally all of the Avengers cast on that couch, which sounds wrong, but he's had all of the Avengers cast. He's had Jude Law. Schwarzenegger was on promoting his book. Sylvester Stallone was on with Robert De Niro when they did that boxing film. Will Smith mentioned already, Tom Cruise. Nicole Kidman.
He's had notoriously grumpy Harrison Ford on.
Yes.
They've had like just a right good old time.
I can't remember if Harrison Ford has been on, but I'm going to have to check now. Cause...
Oh yeah, Harrison Ford's definitely been on.
And he is notoriously grumpy, but apparently he enjoyed himself, which is rare for Harrison Ford on a talk show. But yeah, he'll get these guests to tell stories that they just... They wouldn't tell them to people normally, but for some reason he's like, you know, when you tell Graham Norton, it's like you're basically uncursing yourself, you're unburdening yourself to Graham, and he's such a good listener when it comes to these celebrity stories that you know they actually feel better.
Mm. It's like that's why I really want him to get Barack Obama on. He has to get those stories out of him that happened in the White House that nobody knows, you know.
Yeah.
Ordering takeaway or something like that. Had to happen.
I just love the show because it's so informal. It is a totally informal show. Everyone's wearing suits or nice clothes or something like that, but it's just so relaxed. One of my favourites was when you had, I don't know, there was that singer Nicole, whatever she is, and she was sitting there and she didn't have a clue what was going on because next to her were Simon Pegg and Tom Hanks. And... they're both huge Star Trek fans, and they'd basically written each other a bunch of questions about Star Trek. So they were having a complete nerd off on the couch while Nicole's sitting there going, how did I get roped into this? What's going on? This is totally surreal. Yeah, Tom Hanks is a massive Trekkie, by the way. He is a huge nerd.
That's not fair.
What?
Tom Hanks isn't supposed to have more things to make me love him. Already everyone's favourite grandpa.
Yeah, but the thing is, Tom Hanks is one of those people who... he has this thing, I can't remember what it's called, but I think it's like... it's called something like arsehole points or something like that. And he has more of them than anybody else, they reckon. Because if Tom Hanks walked up to a nun and punched that nun in the face, your first reaction would be... what did that nun do to Tom Hanks? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You wouldn't think Tom Hanks has punched a nun. What a bad guy. You'd say, what did that nun do to Tom Hanks?
See, now you've got me worried that, like, Tom Hanks is secretly the world's greatest supervillain.
He might be. I don't know. It's great because on Graham Norton, he said, if it comes to a new Star Trek film, you know, when the Romulans, when you have like the Romulans making peace and they have a peaceful Romulan, I want to be that Romulan. So
Tom Hanks as Ted the Romulan. Yes.
Ted the Romulan. The intergalactic adventures of Ted the Romulan. Oh, anyway, so Graham Norton. And he just, when you see him on Eurovision, he's taken over from Terry Wogan so well on that. I think he's amazing, and I love watching the Graham Norton show. It's one of those shows, it's literally the only show on TV or online that I actually look forward to watching. You know, I don't treat it as a chore to watch the Graham Norton show because it's so enjoyable.
Oh, definitely.
So over to you, Andrew.
Yes. So, as we probably all know by now, I like my comic books a little bit.
Yes.
So I've been watching our newest comic book show, Legion.
Oh, how is it?
Oh, it's very... Ooh.
Now, that can be either good or bad.
Oh, boy. It is good, but it is good in the kind of way, like, you need to be mentally prepared for Legion. You know, Legion is not a TV show that you half-ass. You go into Legion, you commit to Legion.
Okay. I am concerned about where this is going, but okay.
So, what the show is about, if anyone doesn't know, is about a man called David Haller, who is in a mental institution because he has paranoid schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Only to find out that what he thought was paranoid schizophrenia is actually telepathy, and he might be one of the most powerful psychics on the planet, and can also do some telekinesis.
Okay, so I'm just trying to figure out how this works. He has paranoid schizophrenia, or he thinks he does, but it turns out to be telepathy.
Yeah, so what he thinks are voices he's hearing in his head.
Are actually voices in his head, but from other people.
Yeah.
Right, I got it now, yeah.
But also, that doesn't necessarily not mean he's crazy as well.
And that doesn't necessarily mean he's crazy or not crazy.
It doesn't necessarily mean he's not crazy.
Right, okay, right. I'm following you now. Are you still following, Andy?
Yeah.
I'm just getting the sense from...
With a double negative.
But... Yeah, I'm just getting the sense from Andy that he's barely holding on.
Oh. Oh, believe it gets weirder.
Okay.
Because basically in the first episode, how he gets out of the mental institution is there's another girl in there he likes called Sid, who her thing is she doesn't want anyone touching her.
Okay.
But it turns out, like, she also has powers, and the real reason she has, like, issues with people being too close is that when anyone makes contact with her skin, they swap bodies.
Ah, so, hang on. So, is this what the trailer was suggesting, then?
Yes, so they temporarily swap bodies, and David gets taken out of the Institute by a mysterious group who he then escapes from. Meanwhile, in the Institution, Sid now has the body of the world's most powerful telepath, and also it turns out he has telekinesis.
Yes.
And you get this really trippy bit where she... basically accidentally, because people kind of start crowding around her and she kind of freaks out, accidentally teleports most people into their rooms and then removes the doors and manages to teleport another person into a wall.
Okay. So is that person just stuck in the wall or have they merged with the wall?
Oh, no, they are kind of like, their squishy bits are shoved in with the stony bits.
Okay.
And they did not have a good time with that.
Yes, so they're all kinds of dead then.
Super dead.
Super dead. Is he the zombie enemy of Superman?
Super dead with the amazing powers of being more dead than anyone else on the planet.
Yes. Lord of all deadites.
So yeah, basically eventually David and Sid, they both get out the Institute. And they meet up in a facility called Summerland, which is kind of off-brand Xavier Institute.
Okay.
While also being hunted by Division 3.
Which is like supposed to be Weapon X.
Agency designed to take out people with powers.
Oh, right. Okay. So it's not Weapon X, it's the other one, isn't it? I've forgotten the name.
I think it's kind of like Weapon X slash government people who made Sentinels.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The was it Trask, was it, who created the Sentinels?
Yeah, yeah. It's basically because like, one of the things is it's not really clear whether or not this takes place in the same universe as the films. Which I know kind of up to the release of it, they were kind of flip-flopping around on it.
Yeah.
And not to be honest, I think they might have done that deliberately. Because one of the big themes of the show is like not really being sure what's going on. Throughout the show, there are kind of little hints that David will keep kind of flashing back to the mental institute. So he could just be imagining everything that's happening.
Okay. Didn't Logan come out recently? Has it been released? Because I've been seeing reviews for it around.
Yeah, I don't know if either those are like early reviews or maybe it's released in America and not here yet, but I don't think it's out here yet.
The reason I'm bringing up Logan is because with what you're saying about Legion and it and the whole movie tie-in stuff like that, I'm just thinking, because a lot of what you're talking about, it's making me think of Logan for some reason.
That's weird, because no, they are completely different.
I know they're completely different.
There's literally no thing within them that is in any way similar.
Well, the names are similar. Legion, Logan.
Yeah, all you need to do is take out that I and replace the E with an A. You've cracked it, Rob. Well done.
You're a smart
man, Rob. You can go back to sleep now.
Okay. All right, okay. Look, it was just an idea. I thought maybe Logan is in the future of Legion. So Legion might not be, you know, at that point yet, but maybe Logan is kind of something that happens in the future of Legion. We don't know. Anyway.
But yeah, it's really cool because basically the story is told in like quite a non-linear way.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be lots of like jumping back and forth between scenes, and maybe sometimes you'll just get a little flash of things that have happened. And it's kind of, so you don't want to say confusing because confusing makes it sound bad.
Yeah.
Disorientating. And there's sort of this feeling that, you know, bad things are going to happen.
Okay, yeah.
Basically, trying to explain how Legion works is like explaining fever dreams that I've had while hopped up on painkillers.
Okay, then sum it up in one or two words, then.
Woogly. It's a very woogly show.
Is it good woogly or bad woogly?
Oh, yeah, it's very good woogly, because like, the whole point is you're never really sure how real a scene is. And that ties back into, because we're seeing it through David's eyes, and he is a crazy person.
Cool.
So, yeah, definitely recommend. Just bear in mind, it's not really... It's basically the opposite of what Andy was talking about.
Yeah.
It is not the kind of thing where you just sort of sit down and turn your brain off.
Oh, God, I thought you were saying this show's going to meet Celebs Go Dating. So definitely watch that.
I, too, would watch Joey Essex be merged with a wall.
Oh, and while we're on that, Rob Beckett actually hosts Celebs Go Dating as well. So that would be even more disturbing if they mixed.
Rob Beckett with a wall. Now I'm just imagining a wall made of teeth. Because that's the only thing I can think of when I think Rob Beckett is, my God, that's his mouth.
See, now you've got to be imagining like some kind of theme Rob Beckett land where the gate is just a giant Rob Beckett head. And at the end of the day, just the teeth kind of descend down. That's how it closes.
Oh, what if Rob Beckett was the tooth fairy?
It makes so much sense.
Oh, right. So Legion is a recommend from you then.
Oh, it's definitely a recommend.
Yeah, and the Graham Norton Show is always a recommend from me.
Yes, and Celebs Go Dating is definitely recommended if you like that type of, well, laugh type show.
All right, cool. Well, we are at the end of the show, so we're going to have to leave you for this week. But we'll be back in a fortnight with more TV goodness. So until then, I have been Rob.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Andrew.
We'll see you all later.
Thanks for listening.